Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday made me feel stupid. Wednesday the world was off. Thursday you didn't prove it. Friday felt back in love. Saturday we didn't talk. Sunday you said you needed space. Do you miss me? Am I crazy? Am I losing hold of your love, baby? Either you want me or you don't. I need to know. I need to know. Who are you? Tuesday you had me screaming. Wednesday we didn't part. Thursday you didn't mean it.
Friday I shook it off.
Saturday you got it wrong. Sunday I said I needed space.
Do you miss me? Am I crazy? Am I losing hold of your love, baby?
Either you want me or you don't. I need to know. I need to know.
Who are you?
Everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Tony and Kai Show. I am your host, Kaixa Rodriguez and Tony Wade, and we are so awesome to be bringing you our brought back first episode of our Hot Topics discussion. You know, we used to do this a little while ago, and we decided we were going to bring it back. People have been asking for it, so you know what we do. We like to give y'all what you want, so that is what we are doing. So we're bringing back the hot discussions, and tonight we're going to talk about kids and family and, you know, strategize different types of ideas and things and, you know, discipline and blended families and natural families and the issues and the drama in schools. And, you know, kids like today, they have it a whole lot harder than we did. you know, growing up. I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my 40s. So, you know, 40 years ago when I was in school or 30 years ago when I was in school, you know, the most we had to worry about was fighting. And, you know, our children today have a whole lot more to worry about than, you know, simple fights. So, you know, we're going to talk about some of the issues that they have and how we as parents can deal with them, how we can be a support to them, how we can deal with issues that we have in the home. You know, are we going to just sit here and be a support to one another and hopefully get some of you to call in or talk in the chat room and share your ideas as parents or grandparents or guardians or counselors or, you know, whatever your particular expertise may be when it comes to children? Hopefully that you will lend them to us this evening. We're also going to have a couple of people talk on, give us some feedback from their expertise. We have Toniel Jackson that is going to join us this evening, and she is an author, and she has a couple of books out on relationships and family and a whole lot of different topics going around that. So we talked to her and extended her a seat with us this evening to come in, you know, and to talk and to share her expertise with you all and us to sit on the round table. So we're going to do that as well. Uh-oh. We're running around trying to take care of a couple of things here. Our son just walked in the house from school and stuff, so we're trying to get him situated and as well as talk to you. So if I sound a little winded, it's because I'm running around the house trying to multitask, you know, do that mom thing and get things set up at the same time. But let me check and see if our guest is on. Tony, you there yet?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. I can breathe a little bit better.
I am here.
Whew. Okay, that was a lot of words.
You're good.
But you know, this is what we do. You know, we have to. You know, you got to fill in. You got to fill in. So it's not a big deal. You fill in and do what you got to do, right?
That's right. You go with the flow.
There you go. Okay, so you talk for a minute.
Okay, I'm going to have to teach you a few things. Okay, but I'm going to leave that alone for now. Wow. Okay, people. Well, again, we've gone and decided we were going to bring in hot topics. I really wanted it brought in so that we could discuss some things because there's so much going on in the world right now, whether it be literary, whether it be entertainment as far as showbiz, whether it be politics, whether it be home life, relationships, you know, whether it be art, whatever it be. We wanted to be able to talk about that. And I enjoyed our hot topics, and our guests did, you know. We have some people out there, followers of the Tony and Kai Show, who really appreciated and loved them and missed them. So we brought them back. Made sure that, you know, we pleased people and gave people a voice. So we're gonna be consistent with it. We're going to do what we got to do, you know, to make sure that everybody can share their opinion, share their voice. Now, there's going to be those times where it may seem like things are going to be a little rough. People's opinions, you know, people tend to drive hard when it comes to their opinions, you know, and I know I'm not even going to lie. I like to be heard, but then again, so does Kai. So with that, you know, we tend to go for broke, you know, because it's our opinion, you know, and we like to share them. But at the end of the day, we know who we are, we know what we are, and we know that it's our opinion. So that's how we're going to flow, and it's going to be with everybody else. We're going to enjoy it. You know, because this is to be fun. I mean, this is our radio talk show, you know. So we're going to have some fun with it. And tonight's show is going to be about a very sensitive topic. one that merits conversation and one that I'm sure we're not oblivious to. And, you know, you're not oblivious to if you have children. When you get into a relationship, whether it be a significant other or your spouse, who you've married or whatever, and you have children, whether you're married or not, if you have children, there are those times where you have a different opinion on how children are raised. You have a different opinion. You have two different ways of doing things. And that can tend to be, that can tend to be a thorn in your side. It can be a detriment. Because people, again, especially if you're in that relationship and you're that type of person where, you know, this is how I do things, this is what I know, this is the way it's going to be, or, you know, or you got to question everything, or, you know, it can be, you know, a type of situation where it can be stressful as well. So we want to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about children rearing and what the children are going through these days. And we're going to try to knock it all out in an hour. We're going to do this and have fun with it because it's important that not only do we cover the topics, but we have fun with it. You know, enjoy ourselves. Get our thoughts out there.
Yes, yes, it is. It's very important, and it's very important because it's our children, and because, you know, our children, like I said, are bombarded with so many things today. It's important to understand them. It's important to have a grasp as a parent on your children and what they're doing, where they're at, you know, what your role as a parent is in guiding them towards, you know, being an adult and at the same time, you know, trying to find that ground between being a disciplinarian, but also providing some fun and excitement and life, because they're children. You know, you don't want them to grow up their whole life just being disciplined, you know, at the same time. And when you're a single parent, it can be very, very hard to try to find that middle ground because you're one person. When in a two-parent household, most of us who are in a two-parent household, we know that there's that disciplinarian parent, and then there's the other parent that does discipline but isn't as strict or as hard as the other one, you know. In our home, it was my mom, and, you know, it was wait till your mom gets home. Don't make me tell your mom. You know, that was the person. When I live with my mom, when I live with my dad, it was my dad. My dad was stricter in that particular household. You know, so, I mean, there's always that give and take, you know, there is.
Pointed out, you know, and I need to make sure that it's known. This is a 50-50 deal. Although you did say, and it was true, you know, you can't just be the disciplinarian all the time. You have to equate some type of, you know, other side to that, you know, a softer side at the same time. You cannot always be always out there with the soft side, because there does need to be that discipline at the same time. And for those of you that don't know, Tony, me, myself, and I happen to fall under the role of disciplinarian. I like to teach. I believe in life lessons, so to speak. You know, I believe in prepping the children for life, because I'm not always going to be there. You know, I'm not always going to be here you go all the time. Life doesn't give you everything you want. It's not always a situation where every time you ask, you're going to receive. And there's going to be lessons that need to be learned. You need to learn how to handle yourself. You know, they need to be taught how to handle situations when they come up. It's not okay. And if there's something that they're going through, it's not okay if they were never taught about it. That's a problem. If they were never taught, they don't know. And that can, you can run into issues. You got kids that think that they're supposed to get whatever they ask for. All right? There's nothing wrong with saying no. Just because you walk into the store with your parents doesn't mean you're supposed to get something every time you walk into the store. It doesn't mean when you walk out of that store you got a bag. You know, sometimes you don't have that. If there's a situation where they need to be put on a schedule.
Yeah.
That's perfect. No problem. Teach them schedules young. Because guess what? When they get off there, see, the system in the U.S. is already, I'm sorry, and I'm going to say it, it's already jacked. We're the one country where, yeah, you can get 3, 4 months, 6 months off from school. I mean, if you add in all the time that they normally get off during the school year, plus the summer vacation is 4 months. Now, realistically, you can't go into the workplace when you graduate and expect to get 4 months off for your vacation.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. But you're already geared that way. Schedule says, okay, you know, you're going to get 4 months off every year. They look for that summer vacation. I mean, and half of them don't realize, okay, well, once you grow up, once things get real and you're out there on your own, your vacation can be what you earn. You might get 2 weeks. You might get 4 weeks. You might be able to take them all at once. You might even get 5 or 6 weeks. But you don't get 3 to 4 months. You don't get that. And I'm heavy on the belief that we're failing them. I mean, I'm an advocate. I'm sorry, and a lot of people aren't, but I'm an advocate for them going to school year-round. I am. China does it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we should do what everybody else does, per se, but there's a method behind their madness. When you got that child who don't want to remember, they don't want to touch anything. Not one book, not one pencil through the whole summer. Summer is fun and games. And even for me, when I was in school, it was fun and games. Fun and games. Okay, but then when you go back to school, now the teachers have to take time to refresh your memory. And if you're one of those kids who doesn't remember things that well, has trouble retaining some subjects, you go back into the school year, you're behind the eight ball already. I mean, there's a lot to this. Again, for those that don't know, I'm a disciplinarian. You know, and I do. I do need to lighten up somewhat in my techniques. I do. I mean, Kai is great for calling me that military dad.
Now, I don't think you're as bad as a military dad. I really don't think you're as bad as a military dad.
Okay, I didn't think I was either.
No, I don't think you're. We don't call you military dad. We call you the warden. There's a difference.
Oh, I'd rather. Wow. I mean, it can be a problem. I mean, when you are like that, I mean, because kids, you do have to temper it with love. You do. You have to temper it with love. You can come hard. You have to temper it with love. And it's funny because we have, for example, we have like the Huxtables, okay? And although we never saw them get their behind whooped, I remember watching Bill Cosby's comedy show.
Yeah.
I remember that. And the mother, Claire, was the disciplinarian. In his comedy, his wife, his real wife, he recalled being a disciplinarian. So as to where the kids would get up and want something to eat, and he'd give them chocolate cake, and they'd love him for it for breakfast, the mother was the one that'd be like, her hair get all twisted, her face get all red, and she was the one that would pass out beatings, you know, which, by the way, we steered away from. But this is it was what it was. Now, when you go to the Cosby show that he did, you know, there was an issue. There was a situation where the kids would have discipline. They knew when they were doing wrong, and they knew what the ramifications were. And in many episodes, you would see it where there was a situation, be like, "Don't tell Mom," or when Dad finds out, you know, it's you do have that. They created a show called "Wait Until Your Father Gets Home." They had a TV series named Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. And there was a reason. There's always been a disciplinarian in the house.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there's always one. I mean, no one, and I shouldn't say no one, but I like to find a couple that are exactly the same. I mean, and we are different. We've been raised differently. We come from two different homes. And when you, and I think that this is why, not to get biblical on everyone because that's not the purpose of the show, but this is why things are supposed to be done or work better when things are done a particular way. Because when you start off with a clean slate and you're raising children from birth together, it's a whole lot different than when you come into a home where a woman or a man has already been rearing their children for X amount of time. The children are already used to doing X, Y, and Z. The woman is already used to doing her children this way, or the man is already used to doing his children this way. And now you come in and you see things a whole different way. You think he's too soft or you think she's too hard and you're trying to change everything. It's a totally different scenario versus you two starting at square one, raising your child together. Now, you still may see things differently, but you're both starting at square one. No one feels like they're stepping on each other's toes to a certain extent, because I'm sure, I mean, granted, someone still may feel that way, but I think it's a whole lot going to be felt a whole lot differently because you're coming in, those are not your children. You're coming into something that's already set up. You know, it'd be like going to your job or going into a franchise. Yes, you now own this franchise, but there's already rules in place, and you trying to change the rules or you trying to enforce your own rules. Yes, this is your company now, but there's already rules in place.
Yeah, and that's a difficult situation. And a lot of times, even the participants don't understand. They don't understand what their role is or what it is that they need to do in this type of situation. They don't even look at the situation. It's okay. I've got somebody that's with me, you know. But that's as far as it goes. And you don't talk about, you don't sit down and have a roundtable conversation about how you're going to work it, you know. What are your beliefs when it comes to, normally with a lot of couples, it's about, excuse me, it's about, do you want to have kids? Oh, you like kids? You want to have kids? I want to have kids. And that's about where it stops. It's not, okay, how do you raise your kids? Or what do you believe, you know, when it comes to raising kids? What don't you, what do you like, what don't you like? What do you, what are your expectations? What are your expectations from raising children? And just how far does it go? I mean, there's no in-depth conversation concerning how you're going to rear up or raise up your children. And that can be a big, big problem. Be a big problem, because if you don't put it on the table ahead of time, and even when you do, there are a lot of times people put it on the table, but the problem with that is they're so in love, and it's such a new area to talk about that they don't cover the topic specifically the way it should be. They don't touch on key points at all. There's no discussion about it, you know. They're not in the fire, so they can't feel the heat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But once you're in it, when you're in it, that's a different scenario. You know, now like when I was with, you know, when I became involved with Kai had kids and I had a child. And the way that I raise kids, and I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kai, but one of the things that we did not do as a couple was sit down and say, how do you want to? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about it, and we've had our battles. I mean, as a couple, as a human couple, we've had our battles, you know, because Tony is the disciplinarian as to where Kai is the, you know, more of the nurturer. Now, if we were one parent with both traits, if there was one parent that had what I give and what Kai gives, that would be what we want. That's what it would be for us. But
I don't think it would work in the real, I mean, there's a reason why it works. We as adults don't think it works because you know, Tony and I constantly go back and forth because I think he's too black and white, and I wish he'd come down a little bit to my level, and he thinks I'm too soft. He wishes I'd come up a little bit to his level. But there really is a reason why, again, not to get biblical, but and not even to get biblical, but there's a reason why a two-parent household works. And like I said, that's why it's, I think it's harder when you're a single parent to find that commonality, to find that give and take, because when you're a two-parent household, like we said, one is going to be stricter and one is going to be a little bit more lenient, and that is that kind of balancing act that you do need. It drives us crazy as parents because the stricter person thinks the other person is always letting them get away with murder, and you're never, you're always letting them do this, and I done told them no a million times, and you know, and the other one's going, well, you don't never let them do anything, and all you do is yell and scream at them and this and this and this and that, but there's that balance, you know, there, if all it was yell, 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 scream, 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 you're grounded, you don't do anything right, how come you didn't pick this up, how come you didn't do that, go do this, go do that, if that's all a kid heard 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, they'd be miserable. As an adult, we would not want to hear that every day, all day. Can you imagine your child? And we don't think about our children like children. We think about our children as mini adults. We think about them in the future, which is, this is where we have to get them, but we don't think about them as five-year-olds. And this is what a five-year-old does. You know, we're like, I don't care if this is what five-year-olds do. I have to get them to be 20-year-olds. Okay, but right now they're five, and they're acting like a five-year-old. Or right now they're eight, and they're acting like an eight-year-old. And right now they're 16. And understandably, you want to mold them to become a certain particular type of person. But even while you're molding them, there still has to be some type of understanding that they're children, and their minds are still growing, and they're still learning, and there has to be that give and take. There has to be that discipline, because all people, not just children, people in general need discipline. Even as adults, we need discipline, which is why when we go to work and we don't do what we're supposed to do, we get disciplined. We don't use that word, but we get disciplined. We get in trouble. We get write-ups. We lose our job. We get disciplined. We don't do what we're supposed to do as adults. We get disciplined. So children, yes, do need discipline. But they also need rewards, which is why we like rewards as adults. So why don't we think our children need rewards? It's not called patting them on the head and the world's not going to give you anything. Why do I need to do X, Y, and Z? Because you do get them at your job. You do get employee of the month. You do get, you know, bonuses or whatever. You do get those things. When you're in school and you get, you know, excuse me, you get honor roll, you do get something. When you're in college and you make dean's list, you do get a reward for that. So why do we think that our children, we're spoiling them if we do something nice for them?
And I got you on, and I agree with you on that. I really do. I, you know, because I'm the first one to let you know when you've done something that's not copacetic. But I also love if a child does it incognito. You know, in other words, okay, don't come up to me, you know, I'm that type of person, like, don't run up to me every single time you do something right and be like, okay, can I have? Because I'm going to be more inclined to say no. Because I like to give on the blind side. I don't have a problem. I had, you know, back in the day, I have, for those of you that don't know, I have a 21-year-old. And the thing that I used to get criticized for, me, the military / warden, one of the things I used to get criticized for by certain people in my family was the fact that I did for my daughter on Christmas. I mean, I showered her on Christmas all the time. And I would let her get her big item ticket, whether it be a $500 cell phone or whatever the case would be. And it was, and granted, she was young. But the thing that the reason why, and again, this is the military / warden, the reason why I did that was because I felt I could, because the rest of the year, she wasn't coming up to me asking me for Jack. She wasn't, it wasn't like, okay, I did this, so can I have? It's not like, you know, I want this, or, you know, if I took her into a store, it's like, I need this, can I have it, or I got to have it, or I want this, or I want that, every time I took her into a store. So my thing was, you know, you don't ask. Not only that, if it was a year where she was on a roll, you know, like you're saying, Kai, or, you know, she's doing good, or, you know, she's making sure her chores are done and everything, then there's the reward. And I wasn't always able to do that for her. And at the same time, I was able to be that, well, I don't want to admit to being warden, but I was strict. I'm the same person, you know, I guess I was the same person 21 years ago that I am now. You know, 18 years ago, 19 years ago, she got what she deserved. And I did it that way. And I even bucked with my daughter's mother on it. You know, there was a lot of bucking, a lot of stuff going on, because I also did name brand stuff. No, I just wanted her to have name brand. Because when I grew up, I didn't have it. Her mother was more like, let's go to Kmart, it's cheaper, she can get away with it, that's fine. You know, and I used to tell her mother, well, you get her what you want, that's fine. I'm going to buy her the Nikes. You can get her what you want. That was me. Because I wanted her, you know, for me, I was that parent. So I agree with you, Kai, on the award system. I do. I just wanted to, I mean, and I also agree with you, because you said it eloquently, but it needs to be tempered. You can't just, they don't want to be yelled at every day of the year. They don't want to be yelled at all the time. You can bring a child's self-esteem down in a big way. So I do agree with you on that. It does need to be tempered. At the same time, there is a flip side to that coin. In the flip side to that coin, you're an advocate for a child not being directed as harshly as, say, maybe I'll go as far as to say as me and how I do it. At the same time, the flip side to that coin says that there are those moments where it is needed. And you did say temper. It needs to be accompanied with. So you did say that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're more of the advocate for the other end of that coin, the other side of that coin.
And that's because, you know, and I think we both grew up in very strict homes.
Oh, yes.
You, like my sisters, conformed to the strictness. You embrace that, and I don't understand it. I don't think I necessarily ran from it. I think I just I was terrified of it, and I did not want my children to grow up in the fear and to feel the things that I felt growing up. I think that, you know, in both of my households growing up, I lived with my father for a while, I lived with my grandmother for a little while, I lived with my mother for a little while, and my grandmother, my father's mother, was strict. You know, she had her rules, she had her regulations. I got my behind tore up when I broke the rules. But we also had fun. We also laughed. We also played around. You know, I was free to go outside and play with my friends and, you know, go to sleepovers and do those types of things. I knew the rules. I knew what was expected of me, and I knew when I broke the rules that there were going to be consequences. But I also knew my house was fun. You know, I knew that I wasn't going to get my behind tore up if, you know, there was a shirt laying across the bottom of my bed instead of being hung up. I wasn't going to, you know, it wasn't going to be the end of the world because my shirt wasn't hung up in the closet.
Right.
Instead of laying across the end of the bed. It would be, you know, where does that belong? Put it where it goes. You know, I'm not going to get screamed at because of that. Now, my father's household, you know, I've told you, I got my behind tore up and grounded for 2 weeks because I washed dishes by hand instead of using a dishwasher.
Yeah, it wasn't sad. That was kind of crazy.
You know, that's ridiculous. In my head, you know, love my dad, but, I mean, that's crazy. Who grounds your child for deciding I'm going to wash dishes by hand instead of using the dishwasher? You know, most times you would think it'd be the reverse. Why would you run the dishwasher instead of, I'm like, there's four dishes. Why would I put them in the dishwasher?
Right.
You know?
It, 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 I don't know. We all take away from our childhood, and there are things that need to be, there are things that need to work in conjunction with one another, like, you know, love, you know, the love that needs to be applied to a child so they know they're loved and their self-esteem can be lifted, you know. At the same time, it's just funny because I was sitting in McDonald's earlier today on my computer, and I was looking for something on YouTube, and I happened to see, I ran across the episode of Wendy Williams. Now, I don't follow her like that. I don't know what her views are on a lot of different things. I don't know nothing about her like that. But she was on The View, you know, with four or five other ladies. And it seemed, I guess, the topic for that day for Wendy Williams was her son. Something had transpired. And apparently she got on the TV, and she had been talking to someone, and she mentioned her son and how he hurt her because he made her mad over some stuff that she wanted done and he wouldn't do. And she talked about how angry she got with him and everything. Now, she's married to the dude that produces her show, and the son happened to be in the building. So when he went down to the dressing room to talk to her, and a matter of fact, when she's talking on the show, she cried about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the girls on The View were questioning her about that particular situation, you know, she loves her son. But she said something that I recognized, which was, you know, I can be the nicest person in the world. Well, that's what she was saying about herself. You know, anybody that knows me knows I'm the sweetest person in the world to get along with, she said. But if I ask you to do something, I don't expect you to not get it done. If I ask you to, she said something about, like, when he brushes his teeth, if he leaves the spit from his toothpaste or whatever in the sink, doesn't rinse the sink out, if he leaves his sneakers in the middle of the floor, whatever, stuff like that. And she's like, I ask you to pick it up, and you just don't. I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think Barbara Walters tried to get ready to question her on it because she started out her sentence with, but if. And Wendy Williams cut her short. She was like, no, it's not that type of ball game. If I ask you to do something as my child, I expect you to do it. I expect it to get done. I shouldn't have to ask you 1,000 times over to do things. What I ask you to do, that's what I want done. Now, I relate it to that. I totally relate it to that. Because my thing is, and I've said it before myself, I don't want to have to ask the child 50 times over to do the same thing. I don't want to do it. It's not me. If I ask you to do something, and I know you're smart enough to grasp what I'm saying, then just do what I'm asking. No biggie. Just do what I'm asking. If I have to come behind you once or twice, you know, in the process of you learning it, maybe even 3 times I'll give you. Okay. But when I have to come behind you 30 times, 50 times over, all the time, and it's a repetitive thing, then I have a problem. Then I have a problem. And I'm going, my upsetness, which I know is not a word, as a writer I know, but if my upsetness is going to grow the more times I have to say it. It's just going to, and it used to be, and you know, Kai, I've tempered because of you, because of what you've shown and talked to me about, because of our discussions, I've tempered it off because I used to, you know, I'll tell you the first time so that you get it right, but then, you know, the second time, I'm all over your neck bone. And I don't mean physically, I'm just saying. I'm on, you know, I'm going to dig into you because it's like I asked and, you know, the next day you're doing it again. I don't have that type of patience level. And I you know, I'll openly admit it, I don't. I know, I understand you need to be patient, and to an extent I am because I'm going to give you the opportunity. But I'm not going to give you 50 million opportunities on the same thing. I'm not going to do it because now I'm 50 times more upset than I was the first time I told you.
Let me get to this caller. We've got a caller. They're calling in from a private number. Caller, you're on the line.
Hey, guys, it's Stevie.
I knew it was you this time. Trying to fuss at me in the chat room.
Yeah. No. But see, this is, and Tony, I'm with you, man. I'm with you, man. I feel you. And I'm
look, just because
why.
Our guest isn't here, don't be trying to be guys against the girls tonight just because y'all outnumbering me tonight.
Had no problem with that back in the day when it was all the women and I had to, like, so, you know, stand up on my own. You didn't have a problem with that and say, ladies, let's just be respectful.
Yeah,
no,
be
there
nice
was none of that.
Me.
Yeah, there was none of that.
Here's why. But here's why. There is a sense of entitlement among kids. Like, because I exist, I'm entitled to be treated nice, or I'm entitled to this trophy, or things like that. And they've lost sight of the respect that they're supposed to give people that are older than them. You know, like
there you
my
go.
Son, for example. You know, like, I don't care if they're my friend and they're my age. I don't care. If they're older than you, then they are Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. You do not call an adult by their first name because that is disrespectful. They have lived longer than you. They have, you know, more knowledge, more experience. So in essence, they deserve more respect. So I feel Tony mm-hmm. when he says, well, I shouldn't have to tell you these things 2, 3, 4, 5 times because, look, these are the things that I've gone through. I've had to wash dishes. I've had to clean floors. I've had to sew clothes. You know, so you're saying this from experience, and you're letting kids know that, look, because you've all done this. This is just you paying dues. And if I have to tell you 2, 3, 4, 5 times, not only is that, you know, disrespect, but it's ultimately you saying, well, I don't feel like doing it, so I don't want to do it, so I don't feel like doing it. And in my house, that's wrong. You know, and at my house, you don't do that. Plain and simple, I don't care. Like, there are neighborhood kids that I knock upside the head. You know, there are people that call my house and they will ask for my son, and I say, that is not how you call my house. First, you acknowledge the person who picked up the phone. Hello, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. How are you? May I speak to? You know, and that all has been lost because there are too many people, you know, that don't teach their kids these type of etiquette, you know, this type of etiquette. Like, you always acknowledge the person on the phone, or when you come to the door, you say, hello, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, you know, can so-and-so come out to play? These are things that these are rules, these are guidelines, these are, you know, respects that we've grown up with that we forgot to pass on to people younger than us. So, like, I got kids in my neighborhood calling, they think they're grown enough to call me by my first name. You are not that grown. You know?
Yeah.
So, ultimately, you know, what I will say is this, that the reason why we get into these dilemmas of being either super nice parent or super harsh parent is because we have to compensate for the other parent, or overcompensate, really. Whenever you got a parent who lets their children get away with everything, you have to be super harsh because those are the realities of the world. That, you know, in the job world, they're not going to tell you to do a job 3, 4, 10 times. You're going to be fired. You don't have a job.
Now, see, and that right there is a thought process that I had. Not to gang up on you, babe, because then just so everybody knows, I love Kai's nurturing. I love her nurturing nature. I love it to death.
Wait,
I do.
I also have to, you know, counter these, you know, antithesis to that. You can't be a super harsh parent and not expect the other parent to go super nice. And the reason why is because usually the super nice parent knows they've been there. They know how it feels to get crapped on and know how it feels to be told that they're not enough or that they're not good enough or that they're not smart enough. And so they have to be that parent that says you are good enough, you are smart enough to instill.
Yeah, see.
So, but remember this, both parents have to encompass those type of beliefs. as a soft parent, you have to be hard. You have to tell your kids no. You have to help them understand why you said no. You know, it's not, you know,
yeah.
There's no reason the kid, you say no, and the kid asks you 3, 4, 5 times after you said no the first time. But at the same time,
yeah.
as a harsh parent, after you whoop your child, after you knock them upside the head, you have to let them know why. Let them know it's not just a random knocking upside the head. You know, the reason why you got knocked upside
yeah.
the head is because the dish is dirty, again. And I told you this last time. You know, so you have to represent both sides. But remember this, Kai, and remember this, Tony. The harder or nicer you are, the more the other person has to overcompensate. And that is just the way it is. That is how you have to raise a kid. Can't have them thinking that, you know, the world is in the palm of their hands and they can do whatever they want. Wrong. But at the same time, you can't thinking, keep knocking them upside the head and making them feel that they're less than what they're worth.
Yeah. Now, see, that is that's a thought that when you said that, it made me think back because in our house, there was a situation at one point. At one point, what I did, I sat down with Kai and I had a family meeting, and I told our two youngest ones, this is what's going to happen. From now on, if y'all have a question, come to me. The reason why I did that is because they were constantly going to her. If they wanted something,
they
went straight to her.
Good answer, not dad's answer.
Exactly. And Kai was nice enough to let me know, well, of course they're not going to come to you because you always say no, which made me reflect on what you just said, DV, which is basically there's an overcompensation thing. You know, not that it's a justification on my part, because I'm sure Kai has to overcompensate. Now that you're saying it, I have, you know, I'm actually even respecting her more for what she has to do. I'm feeling kind of bad, you know, if she's got to overcompensate. But I admittedly know that I do. I definitely overcompensate, and I say it because it's like, well, if Kai is giving them 100% of that, or if Kai is being that lenient, I can't do it. I mean, naturally, I just can't bring myself to do it. You know what I mean? Whatever I feel that Kai was giving at that point, for me, I can't give it because they're already getting it. And I need to know that they also know the realism of it as well on the other side of that. And Kai is right. They need to be nurtured. But at the same time, my thing is I'm all about the life lessons. I'm all about the life. So it's like if, like you said, DV, if they get into the real world, and Kai, you said, well, right now they're 5. Okay. Well, going back to your statement about, you know, quoting scripture, raise up a child, you know, in the way they're supposed to be raised, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I want my child set. I don't want my child to have to struggle. So I'm going to teach my child, and the child's already going to have to struggle, naturally. Life is not easy. Nothing's going to be handed to them. So I'm not going to continually hand them anything. I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to give them things out of the kindness of my heart, but I'm also going to let them know, you got to earn some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to earn it because the world's not going to give it to you. Just because you tell your boss you want a raise doesn't mean you're getting one.
Yeah, and see, and I don't want it to come across as I'm just a yes mom, because my son is 10 and my daughter is 14, my youngest 2,
yep.
And my older 2 can definitely, my 22 and 21-year-old can definitely attest to lots of ass whoopings, lots of yells and screams, and mommy was a whole different mommy way back then. 5 years ago, mommy was a whole different mommy. You know, I had a lot more anger issues, you know, back then dealing with some things, you know. So there was a whole lot more butt whoopings and things being, you know, things were a whole lot worse back then. You know, and I've come down because I wanted things done and didn't understand how to get things done without yelling and screaming and slamming things and, you know, why can't you just put your plate in the sink and wash it without, you know, just putting it in the sink and walk it away? Why can't you pick up your cup off the table? You know, little simple things, you know. So, but I'm not just a yes mom, you know. I'm not as much of a disciplinarian as Tony is. Huh?
I was like, oh, yes.
You know, so,
that.
I mean,
No, we
but
actually
I'm not. I'm really
y'all.
Not because
y'all
I do discipline
no.
my son. I discipline my son. He does get grounded from me. He does get yelled at from me. You know, he doesn't get told yes to everything. You know, he gets told yes a whole lot more than he does with Tony. You know what I mean? He does get told yes more than with me than he does with Tony, and I'll definitely admit to that. You know what I mean? I say yes a whole lot more than Tony, but he doesn't get told yes to everything. I don't, you know, yeah, whatever you want, whatever, it's all good. You know, no, I don't do that. You know what I mean?
I definitely don't want y'all to think that's what I'm saying. I was just showing a contrast to what Kai is like compared to me. But, yes, Kai does say yes more than I do. It was that point back in time where it's like, okay, y'all are going to come to me. And it's funny because as soon as I said it, their mouths dropped. And they were like, what do you mean? They knew, okay, things are about to change here. I can't just run to mom and get what I want because now I got to go through Tony to get it. You know, and it became a situation where it's like, I don't want to have to go to dad. But for like 2 weeks, they had to come to me for anything. Is it you cannot go to your mother? But what if you cannot go to your mother? Well, how about if you cannot go to your mother? You have to come to me. Because I had to solidify that in some way, shape, or form. I had to, and it's not that I wanted to, it's not like I sat back in the dark and was like, yes, now I can say no to everything. I can get nothing. That's not what my objective was. I was feeling some kind of way because it's like you're bypassing me to go to her to get what you want. We go out of town. They wanted snacks in the store. I had already told them they didn't need them, so when they go with my beautiful wife in the store, they get snacks. Not only do they get snacks, but they hide them. And it was funny. It was funny when I found it. Yeah, they were trying to play. They were trying to be sneaky with it. And, you know, Kai knows, you know, that I do, you know, you don't want Dad to have to say anything. So, you know, don't be Javier's 10. He was younger then, but he didn't know. So it's like he's gonna like, I got my lollipop, you know. He's going to be happy about his little snack. You know what I mean? And then I'm hearing in the back of me, you weren't supposed to say anything. You weren't supposed to show it. You weren't supposed to pull it out. And it was funny. It does become funny, but it was at that point, it's like, look, okay, we can't bypass Dad just because you want what you want. And Kai is not a let me give you everything, but she does not like the hardship that comes with being strict. She doesn't like it. She didn't like it when it was being given to her, and I can understand that. She didn't like it, so she shies away from it now. She doesn't want to be that type of person. Me, I've never second-guessed my upbringing. I didn't like it because my mother was quick to try to put me through a wall. She really was. My mother had 3 kids, and I got treated the worst out of all 3. And she actually admitted it, like, about a month ago. She did me dirty just because she didn't like my father. She did me dirty. And I accidentally broke this woman's window, and the back of my head ate wall within seconds of the doorbell ringing. You know, didn't even hear my story. Didn't talk to me. I mean, just took me by the throat. And I remember that vividly. And it's like, that's not what I want to do. But I remember the discipline big time. I remember my uncle telling me, stay out of grown folks' business. Why does a 7-year-old need to be hanging around while y'all talking about grown folks' stuff? You know, so my uncle was like, you know, go play in the other room. We're having grown folk conversation.
Right.
So we've gotten away from all of that type of stuff.
Yeah, we have.
You know, we've gotten away from a lot of that stuff, and you know, at the same time, you know, kids are their youth isn't as fun as, you know, it was. Like we said, the other day, TV and video games and all of this type of stuff is taking over, and you can't trust people anymore either. So, I mean, that whole going outside and playing isn't like it was when we were kids, when kids could hang outside all day long and you wouldn't have to worry about them. You got to consistently check on your kids every 10 minutes to make sure they in front of the house like they was and somebody didn't come by and snatch them, or that, you know, just letting them go down the street to somebody you think you know house is not as safe as that, because the person you think you know may not be the person you think you know.
And like you said in the beginning, Kai, there is an element where they're going through a lot more than we did.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, I used to get bullied when I was in school. That crap ain't happening now. Ain't ever going to happen ever again. But when I was in elementary, or rather even early junior high, my first year of junior high was the worst year of my life. I got bullied by like 3 different people. And back then, it was a situation where, you know, well, I'll see you after school. You know, I'm going to beat you behind after school, or I'm going to catch you at the bus stop. And we didn't worry about the knives. We didn't worry about the guns. We didn't worry about 5 or 10 other people jumping. It was me and you, mano y mano. You know, they're under a lot of pressure now. There's a lot going on, and it's hard. It's hard for them. But that's another reason why I try to instill that discipline in the line of teaching them what they need to know now, because they're going to come across this stuff and they need to know how to deal with themselves, not just the bullying, but everything. I mean, you can't just have what you want. Sometimes you're going to have to earn, in most cases, you got to earn what you want. You know, you have to know how to go out there and get a job. You shouldn't be afraid to learn how to do things for yourself.
Yep.
Not always going to be around to do that for you.
Like, my mom always wanted us to be smart. She was like, look, you know, nobody is going to want something for you that you don't even want for yourself. So she felt like the best way to do that was to make us smart, or at least to be smarter than the people that we're dealing with. You know, I got bullied a lot, but I liked to fight. That was one thing I liked to fight, you know, but the thing is, the extra motivation my mother, you know, instilled was like, look, if you get beat up, I beat you up too. You know, and that's how my parents were. You know, if you get beat up, you about to get beat up again. So it added extra motivation not to get beat up. But this is the one thing that, you know, I learned in this little bit of time that I've been on Earth, that as parents, we have the responsibility to make our kids better than we were, period. If when we leave this earth, they should always be better off than we were. So with that being said, we have to instill in them the same values that we have. We have to instill in them the same work ethic that we have. You know what I'm saying? Or otherwise, it gets lost, because they're not going to be able to teach their kids that work ethic if they don't know it. And they're not going to be able to discipline their kids accordingly if they don't know it. So what I'm saying is, it's not that, you know, we need to be hard or we need to be soft all the time. What it is that we have to teach them the same things that we learned so that they don't make the same mistakes we did. They'll make a whole new bunch of mistakes.
That's perfect.
But I tell my son this: if there are mistakes that you can walk away from, then it is a lesson learned. If you cannot walk away from this mistake, then it is my failure as a parent for not warning you, or for not, you know, for giving you enough information to keep you from falling into that trap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's how that's a question that I've had, because I had my daughter tell me one year, she was bold enough and brave enough to come to me, and she was like, why? And I think most of it was because she didn't want me telling her what and what not to do. But the thing she came to me with was, why don't you let me make my own mistakes? If I need you, I'm going to make mistakes. If I need you, then I'll come to you. So I'm like, okay, well, yeah, exactly. And I told her that. I was like, that's fine. I'll let you make your mistakes. You go ahead. You do what you got to do. I see you going through the big, going towards the big hole. But if you want to go there, that's fine. That's on you. But don't come back to me after I've already warned you and you want to do it your way. And then you
when
want me to fix your situation.
Like that, yeah, but when kids say stuff like that, I'm like, you ever seen a man on fire? And they'll say no. I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to show you pictures of a man in a burn unit. And then they'll see those pictures. I was like, guess what? Had I not told you that fire was hot, this would have been you. And then you would have come in like, why you ain't tell me fire was hot? Well, you told me.
You
didn't want me to tell you anything. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that logic is so flawed that I'm not supposed to tell you about something until after it's occurred. No, it does not work that way. Because there's no boss on planet Earth who is going to say, hey, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you why I'm firing you. But, you know, let's just talk it out instead. You know, I mean, you have to be able to understand that as a parent, I have to make sure that you are ready for the world that is going to be much harsher to you than I will ever be. You know?
Yeah.
And that's all and that's what I have to let my son know. Look, it is hard out there. It is even harder because you have a nice little tan. You know, nobody is going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And as we all know, guess what? You gotta work twice as hard to be what? Considered half as good. So
yeah.
You know, you have to instill in them that work ethic to be twice as good. You know, not so that they get noticed, but so that they excel. Because we have far too many people telling their kids that they ain't worth nothing. And guess what? We got a whole generation of kids who don't want to be about nothing. If they ain't rapping, if they ain't playing some sort of sport, they don't want to do nothing. They don't want any set of skills. They don't want, you know, so, and then they wonder why they ain't got a job. Well, you know, part of the reason you ain't got a job is because you never wanted one. You know, cleaning, you know, taking care of pipes was too good for you. You know, too below who you were. You know, and if you instill, not you guys specifically, but if we as parents instill a better work ethic, like, look, if you're not the greatest person in school, I'm gonna teach you how to do a skill or take you to somebody who knows a skill so that you can support yourself. Any man or anybody, any woman who knows a skill, they will never starve, ever.
There you go.
Because they will always be needed. Somebody will always want them.
Teaching our kids.
Yeah. That little saying that they used to have about, you know, if I catch fish for you, I can feed you for a day. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat for life. If you tell our kids now, they want fish, they come to you saying they want to eat, and you say, okay, well, I'm going to teach you how to fish, they look at you like you got 10 heads. You know,
yeah,
and
like,
if you try to explain that same philosophy to them, they don't want to hear that. And you just, I don't want to hear you, what, I'm going to eat what, come on.
Learn how to cook. Why would I need to learn how to cook when you can cook for me?
Yeah.
You know, why do I need to learn how to cook? Yeah, I can there's oodles and noodles, and there's plenty of simple things. I don't need to learn how to make a four-course meal. I don't need to learn how to make steak, and I don't need to learn how to do that because there's hot dogs and there's little simple things, and I got this.
When there ain't that, there's a dollar menu at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these are the same people that with Power Rod, they don't know how to use a can opener. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about a can opener. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like, you know, lesson number one when I was a kid, how to use a can opener, the original can opener. These kids don't even know how to do that. So the thing is, if all the power was to go out, God forbid, you know, if there was some catastrophe about to happen and we had no power, half these kids would starve because they couldn't open a can. You know, there are no survival skills. There are no, you know, I want to be better. All it is, you know, if I can't be a millionaire, I don't want to be nothing. If I can't be a millionaire, you know, rapping.
And they don't
want
to work to be a millionaire. They want to just somebody show me how to instantly be a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's no different with books. We got all these people who can write books, but because they can, they do, when they shouldn't be. You know, and this is the thing. You never want to learn. Nobody ever wants to learn about the craft. Nobody ever wants to, you know, take the time to learn what it really entails to be great. I don't care if you clean the toilets for a living. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to take the time to know what it takes to be great. And until you take that time, you will never be great. You will always be mediocre. Always. And you know, Michael Jordan, case in point, you know, when he got cut, that's all he did. He was like, I want to be great. So he went to the basketball. He found people to play against that were better than him. The only way you get better is to play against better, period. You want to be smarter, find yourself around smart people. You know, you want to do better, have better, be better. You know, these are the things that you have to want for yourself because nobody wants to see you succeed, period. You know, and they show enough not going to give you the means to succeed if you have the opportunity to. period.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
As scary as that is, like, the reason why I'm harsh on my son, like, my son is probably the only person in high school that doesn't have a cell phone, still. And I said, the reason, there are three things that you need to do on your cell phone. You need to, one, go above and beyond to the point where I'm like, wow, you really did that good? You deserve it. Two, you need to show me that you are responsible enough to handle more responsibility. We constantly give kids this access to the rest of the world when they're not even responsible for the little things that they need to take care of. You can't wash the dishes every day, then you're not responsible. You can't keep your room clean, you're not responsible. So why am I there for responsibility? So that's the second option. Number three, you can pay for it for yourself, in which case you understand what it takes to make and earn money and to pay bills. So, therefore, if you don't pay your bill, your phone gets cut off. So, I mean, that's it. You know, and if people look at me like, oh, my God, you're a dinosaur, but I am that parent that I don't want technology raising my child. And for the same reason that, you know, I don't like other people's kids because they bad. They bad as hell. And I want to knock their kids off their heads. You know, nobody raises respectful kids anymore. Every time somebody's gotten away from the respect altogether. Right.
And everything's supposed to be automatic, instamatic for them. And like you said, they have that mentality or that expectation that everything's supposed to just come at them.
Everything falls
and it's not every child.
We're speaking in generalizations now, so we're not gonna say all kids, we're not gonna say some kids, we're not say our kids. But when we speak in generalizations, you know, we're just talking about kids in general. But I've always felt like, you know, the one thing that I want to do on planet Earth is to make sure that my kids are better off than I am. And if that means that I have to be a hard behind to do it, if that means that I have to knock them upside the head to make them realize that, you know, the only person that really cares about their well-being is me and their mom, then so be it. You know, and they say, you know, occasionally they say family, but you know how family can be sometimes. As soon as you get something, then they want to talk about you like you a dog, you know, oh, you think you better. You know, so I kind of, you know, steer my kids away from that. Like, look, there's always going to be somebody who does not want to see you succeed. And those people are not your friends. You may love them to death. Just because they're related to you don't make them, you know, family. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between relatives and family. He related to you, but that don't mean he's family. So, you know, understand.
That's huge right there.
Yeah.
That's
huge.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, you know, like to wrap it up, because I know I like to talk. You know, I'm scared. I really am, because black boys drop.
Probably
like
just me.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, they drop it like flies, and there's justification to do it. They're telling you because you look threatening, or because you know we think that you're a threat. You know, you automatically deserve the right to be shot. Or you deserve the right to get, you know, to be mugged or to be jumped. Or you know, because you were playing music at a certain value, that's the way it's supposed to happen. You know, and that's the scary thing. So until it gets to that point where, you know, they will respect you regardless, you know, everybody talks about this multicultural, you know, I don't see a color. They see color. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't tell you about it. Well, I don't see color. Well, if you don't see color, what's the point in telling me you don't see color? You know, because things are the way they are, I want my kids to have the biggest advantage, period. The best, you know, whatever I can give them. If I cannot give them this, then, I'm mixing up my words because I'm thinking fast and I can talk. But I always want my kids to simply be better off than me. I want to have them to have more experiences than me, and I also want them to be able to do the things that I was not able to do, but not because, you know, I didn't want it for them, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm scared because it's open season on black people, black men as well as black women. It's not just us, it's black women as well.
Yeah.
So I want to put out, you know, is no different than books. You know, you want to put out a better product than, you know, what's currently out there so that nothing can ever be used against them. Yeah, people will always use something against you, but I want my son to be smart enough to be able to either shrug that off or to prove them wrong. Prove them wrong in the sense that I don't have to go up to them and say, you know, you were wrong, just to keep people's mouths open by, you know, the great things that you achieve.
See, well, that's what I'm saying. Now to, I mean, to close it out from on my end, what I do want to say is that I feel, and I can only speak for my household, I do feel that Kai and I, regardless to what approach we use, I feel that Kai and I have done a great job. You know, you have there's the oldest who is, you know, majoring in art in college. You have there's a number two. Not, and I'm not putting them in order, but there's another who is getting ready to graduate next month from college. Then there's you know, a third who is working two jobs, and it's a, you know, a female, because she was taught, you know, never have to rely on a man for anything that you need in life. When it comes to, you know, or anybody for that matter, you need to go out and get your own. So the report came in last week that, you know, the girl is a hard worker. Hard worker. You know, got a 14-year-old on a roll, on honor society, you know. And then we have our 10-year-old, and we're trying to forge him now. You know, so I think that for our household, I think we've, there is a balance out there. There is, I mean, regardless to, I mean, the discussion was about different ways of parenting, but at the same time, I think that my wife does a great job with what she uses for an approach. The younger ones have tried it, and it's what it is. They understand the game. They know, but they're great kids. Can't take that away from them at all. We have great kids, so I'm blessed abundantly, you know, with the family that I have. I'm blessed with it. I'm proud of each and every one of them. I'm proud of them. And I would only hope that they continue on the right path and do what needs to be done so that they can be those outstanding citizens, you know, as a whole. And achieve those goals, like you said, DV, that I could never achieve.
Yeah.
Go places I could never go. Do things I could never do. Now, again, I'm all about the lessons. So, yeah, you're going to have to work for that. But keep doing what you do, you know, because it's very rare that somebody's going to walk up and give you $1 million and say travel the world. It's very, very, very rare. So know that you're going to, I just want them to know, keep working. Keep doing what you do. Get them grades like you're getting. Work your behind off like you're doing. Just keep working. Just keep doing it, because you have to rise above.
Yeah.
But what we're gonna do is a part two to this, and we're gonna extend time and everything, because it's important. And we're gonna do this next Friday, and when we do, it's going to be a large panel of people. We're gonna hit. This was a test run. We're going to run this topic again, and we're going to have like a five-person panel. DV, I would love to have you, if you ever had the time to come back next week. It would be beautiful, because you have a lot to say, and we appreciate you. You're our brother, and we really appreciate it when you stop by, because you always have words of wisdom or enlightenment for us, you know, always have something to say, and we love that. So we hope that you can come back next week, but we are going to 6:30 next Friday. Wait, are we going to be around next Friday?
No.
See, and you're just letting me talk.
I wouldn't want to cut you off. I was going to say next Friday I will be at my very first ever Mary Kay Career Conference. Woo! Yay!
You go,
okay.
Girl.
I'm sorry. I had to, you know, I'm sorry. So I will be at Career Conference next Friday, so we will not be having our show. You will be on the road, probably on your way back here from Massachusetts.
Right.
So, yes, next Friday we will skip next Friday's Hot Topic discussion, and we'll bring it back. That'll give us a whole extra week to get in touch with people. So if you listen to the show and you'd like to be part of our roundtable discussion on family and children and relationships, because it's going to go all of there. You know, it's you can't talk about children without talking about love and relationships and marriage and all of that.
Yeah,
so
it's going to get big.
It's going to get big. So if you have something to say and you'd like to be on the call as part of the panel to give your input and your feedback, please inbox us, Tony, the letter N, K-I-E, show on Facebook, and get in touch with us there, and or Tony and Kai show at yahoo.com. You can email us there. Either one, get in touch with us and let us know that you'd like to be part of the panel in 2 weeks, two Fridays. And we'll talk to you again. Our guest tonight, she had a little mix-up with the time and the schedule because I got in touch with her like 2 days ago, so I think she thought it was next Friday. So we're going to get in touch with her and have her back on in two Fridays as well. So we're going to have a nice little size, so we hope to see you back here in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
In the meantime, Tuesday, come back on Tuesday because we do have our regular show every Tuesday. So we will be here this coming Tuesday for our regular show, but our Hot Topic discussion will be back in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we need y'all to tune in. You know, tune in. Give us your feedback. Give us your feedback by all means. We love you all. We got mad love for you, DV, so thank you again. You're almost like a fixture in our show right now. So we see the unknown, and we know it's you. I want to thank my precious wife because she's a sweetie, and she puts it down. So I want to thank you, let you know I love you, babes.
Love you too, babe.
And we will see you all on Tuesday,
yeah.
6:30. Same time, same Tony and Kai station.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.